This is Scott.
This is Pat.
Hey, you want to stick around for this week's Hanson McLean's Money Matters? We're going to talk about some steps to maximize your tax savings when you're giving to charities through what's called a donor advice fund.
And we're going to talk with Fran Mayer about the gig economy and how you fit into that.
Yep, she's pretty interesting.
She's an interesting lady.
Yeah. And, of course, we'll take some calls. If you'd like to join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you were with us on this weekend as we talk about the world of finance. I guess Financial Times top ranked. I don't know.
It's a new promo?
I just heard it.
New promo. Is that a new promo, John?
I don't know if it's new or not. It's probably not, but... No. I guess we've had it for some time, according to our producer,
well, anyway,
Johnny.
Congratulations, Scott.
Congratulations.
Oh,
Pat.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny. So we've been doing this program since 1990.
Do you read Financial Times?
Yeah. Sometimes, not every day. It's not one of my...
go-tos? I read it sometimes.
Not a lot. There's only so many... I have a few sites I go to on a daily basis, where I get financial news.
Yeah.
And other news, and then I don't know. I watch almost zero news on TV.
It takes a lot of time to watch news to collect information.
Particularly like local news.
Well, not only local news, but
national
news. Because you have to weed through. You got to weed through it.
I love reading news online because I could just scan and figure the stories I want and get the information.
But that's not what the show's about.
No,
the show's about you. You can call the show and ask questions.
Patterns and reading.
888-2-HANSON if you have a financial question that you'd like answered, whether you're very beginning, whether you've been doing it for a little while and just want some more information, or whether you're a seasoned veteran, 888-2-HANSON. Or second opinion. We love giving second opinions.
Because we do.
Normally, the first opinions are not all that good.
typically, when someone calls wanting a second opinion, they've had someone try to sell them something.
Yeah, they've had second thoughts themselves. Life insurance, disguises,
equity
and investment, annuities. So all that will change pretty soon here with the Department of Labor rules.
Although it's interesting, Pat, the Department of Labor, which is I don't want to talk about this. It's a kind of...
Well, could actually change this.
I know. That's what I mean.
It could.
Well, it could change everything. Not everything, but it can change a great deal.
Quite a bit.
A number of things.
Anyway.
So, hey, I want to kick things off talking about a strategy that more and more Americans are using. And you might consider as well, particularly if you have, if you give any money at all to charities, or you have a desire to give some money to charities, and that's through what's called a donor advised fund. Okay. So what this is, I think most of us are familiar with the concept that we can give money to a nonprofit organization like the Sacramento Food Bank or doesn't really matter. A number of different
SPCA of Colorado.
Yeah, United Way.
Big
the
charities.
Clinton Foundation.
Small charities.
So if it's a 501c3, we receive a tax deduction most of the time for that. And there's some AM alternative minimum tax issues, and there's some.
And then if your income's too low, then maybe not as much.
If you give more than 50% of your adjusted gross income, or 30% if it's an asset.
But suffice it, about 90.
Most
of the time. You're going to get a tax deduction for it.
And for some people, you might be writing a check out on an annual basis or monthly basis to some charity. Well, here's what a donor advised fund does. A donor advised fund is a fund that's set up either through some of the large brokerage firms, Schwab and Fidelity and TD and whatnot. Those companies have these donor advised funds. You'll also find them at community foundations. A variety of different community foundations.
Almost every medium-sized and
Silicon
large community, has
foundation.
A community foundation.
Well, I forget what they're called. But there's Marin County Community Foundations, et cetera, will have a donor advised funds. And you'll also see some just charities will have donor advised funds. And what happens with these, as the name implies, the donor is the one who can advise where the dollars go. So for practical purposes. You set up a donor advised fund at, say, one of the large brokerage firms, and you put some money into that donor advised fund. Let's say you put in $10,000 as an example. You can then tell that the brokerage firm, look, I want you to give $500 to this organization, $1,000 to that organization, $750 to this organization, or you know what? I don't want to make any decisions this period of time. I'd like to let these dollars continue to grow, and I'll give them to analytics. So they almost work like a foundation, a family foundation.
And what it does is it makes it really, really easy. So I've used one myself for years and years.
As have I.
You know, so if you see me at church and they're passing the basket, you don't see anyone in my family dropping checks in there. The reason being is I go into the...
You don't give your kids like $5 so they can put it in the basket?
Used to, but not anymore.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I go to my father-in-law when I visit him, he would do this.
Is he still?
No, it felt awkward. I'm dating his daughter and I'm married. He's getting a couple dollars for me to put in the basket.
They give you gas
First
money?
First of all, I'm not Catholic. I'm at Mass and I'm standing up when everyone else is sitting down and I'm supposed to kneel now and I fell, you know, the whole
Did
thing. I'm doing it all wrong.
Give you gas money when you come over for visit?
No, I would like that though.
So the we would just go on once a year and transfer some money in. What it does though is you can move your mutual funds that's in a brokerage account or stock into a brokerage account and you get the tax deduction for the full amount.
That's where the real power of these things are, right? So Pat said it real briefly, but here's where the real power is. You've got some asset that's appreciated. A stock, a mutual fund, a piece of property, whatever. Some sort of appreciated asset. You can give that or portion of that asset to this charity, this donor advised fund, receive a tax deduction for doing so, and you avoid the capital gains. So let's just say, for example, you bought Apple stock years ago and your cost basis.
Yes.
Let's say you have $10,000 of Apple stock and your cost basis is $1,000. Now, most people who own Apple stock did not buy it that long ago. They bought it in the last couple of years. But let's assume you had it for years and years and years. And so if you sold that stock, you say, oh, I want to give to the United Way, and you sold that stock to come up with the cash to donate to the United Way, you would have to pay capital gains.
And state income taxes on it.
On that transaction. But if you just gift that stock to the donor advised fund or to United Way, for that example, you could receive a tax deduction of the fair market value and avoid that capital gains.
Yeah.
And the charity, when they go and turn around and sell the asset, they don't pay a capital gain tax because they don't pay taxes.
It's the same
They're
reason.
Nonprofit.
It's the same reason that if you want to give money to a charity in your estate, it normally makes sense to give it from an IRA or a 401k as a beneficiary because nonprofits don't pay taxes. So these are they're called charitable gift funds or donor advised funds. Even I have clients that only give away a few thousand only. They give away a few thousand dollars a year, and it makes sense to use these. Plus, it makes the accounting so much easier, much easier.
So if there's five charities you want to give to, these donor advised funds work perfectly. And let's say you've got, man, I've got all the stock, and I think I should sell it, but I don't want to pay the capital gain tax. You think, you know what, I'll put it in this donor advice fund, and then I'll gift these dollars out over the next decade, maybe.
And if I want to keep that stock, I just buy back the same position in the portfolio.
I've done that a number of times over the years. Gift the stock and at the same time repurchase it.
Just reset your basis.
Yeah. So you can gift up to 30% of your adjusted gross income and assets and take a tax.
So if you're interested in this, you could go right to the gift funds and you can find them if you just talk to your financial advisor
or your accountant.
And a good financial advisor or accountant should be able to walk you through this concept. But the clients that I've introduced it to, they like it.
Yep.
Makes it easier.
Yep. All right. Well, let's now talk the new view of retirement. Well, a few weeks back, we had Carol Fishman Cohen, CEO and co-founder of iRelaunch, on the radio show to talk about the concept of internships for retirees. Hopefully you caught us on that. And this week we have Fran Mayer. She's the co-founder and CEO of Babyage. It's a gig economy company helping to employ retirees looking for part-time work. And she's going to be chatting with us about how people can be taking advantage of this, retirees or soon-to-be retirees. And so, Carol, welcome to, or this is Fran, I'm sorry. Carol is her business partner. We've got Fran Meyer. Fran, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, guys. Thanks for
I am all confused reading these notes. Carol was on a few weeks ago. I did say Fran. So,
it is Fran.
I was right the first time.
And Fran.
No, you said Carol first, but who cares now? I'm on.
All right, yes. So Fran,
thank you,
tell,
Fran,
tell us what... It's
Baby Airs.
Okay.
Think and what Baby you, plus Concierge.
Baby Airs. And what do you guys do?
Baby Airs.
You didn't say anything.
We are a baby equipment rental marketplace. So
what is baby equipment?
Like strollers, car seats,
oh,
book bags, all kinds of things that a traveling family or a grandparent might want to have in their home when their kids and their grandkids come to visit. So the opportunity we have for grandparents or retired people is they could be the ones that serve the customer with this gear.
Got it. What,
got it?
Yeah, so I like this. I have four children. They're all
right.
They were all born within 5 years, these four children.
Do you remember?
I absolutely, and I'm quite frankly, we have a lot of young people that work at the firm that are in their late 20s, early 30s, and I get such a kick out of talking to them about it because you miss that chaos, but what you don't miss is trying to lug. I still remember this, flying with a family down to San Diego and then lugging four car seats.
And luggage fees are a great deal more now than they were.
So these people that work, are they independent contractors? Did they buy their inventory? Did they buy it from you? How's it work? So
yes, so most of them are, they're all independent contractors. We call them trusted partners. They own the inventory. They figure out how much they want to rent it for and some other parameters, how far they're willing to drive to make a delivery and how much they want to charge for delivery. And they keep 80% of what they earn.
You've
and
Uberized.
We also even insure them.
You've Uberized, if that's such a word. You've Uberized.
Yes, it is.
rental of a commodity that most people don't know where. I wouldn't even know where to begin to rent. Is there any competition with this sort of rental out there?
Yeah, so there's hundreds of competitors, mostly
really?
Around resorts and destination places. But they're mom and pops. They're not very sophisticated about how they market their business online. You know, I was one of the co-founders of Match.com and practically invented internet advertising, if I can say so myself.
Well, fire away, Al Gore.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know. But the point is that... it's about time that there was a service that really provided this. And we think our differentiation is that we use individuals that we call trusted partners, their moms, their grandparents, their retirees, who really are accountable to making sure that the parents and the grandparents get good quality baby gear that's clean, reliably, on time, to where they want us, to where they want it.
So, Fran, you're basically using people this is a part-time job for them. Tell me about your own journey. So you said you were one of the co-founders of Match.com. Did you go to retire and then decided you wanted to continue to work?
I hate to admit it, 20 years ago. And I did three other startups since then. The last one is called Trustee. It does internet privacy. Was doing that for a long time. Then found myself empty nester, living in San Francisco and having a fair bit of time and not quite enough that I didn't feel guilty about spending money. So I started to do Airbnb in my house in San Francisco at just the right time and enjoyed that, made really good money, and started to really think about this whole gig economy and sharing economy and how important hospitality and travel is. And I saw that firsthand. And I had plenty of guests who wanted a high chair or a crib or a playpen. So I knew as an Airbnb host that there was demand for this. And when I saw this opportunity, even though I was doing some board work and advising and consulting with companies, I thought, this is the one. I'm going to go back right into it. And you know what they say, you know, first there's marriage, then comes baby.
That, you know, so, and you're talking about this, I remember once when we rented a house at the coast, my family went down there, we had forgotten two high chairs. I went to the local Goodwill because I didn't want to spend $150 or $200 on a high chair, whatever they cost, and bought like these $5 high chairs at the Goodwill. Probably not the best parenting move in the world, but I'm certainly was watching the dollar. This is fascinating.
You know, it's cheaper to rent than it is to buy. And also, our people go in and they'll set up the high chair, they'll set up the crib, you know, really make it easier for everybody. And, you know, what's different now about young people when they travel with the kids because they're working all the time. So the only time they really spend time with the family, you know, good concentrated time, well, one of the only times is when they're on vacation. So they want to sleep well. They want the kids to have a good time. They want the kids to sleep well. And having those comforts from home really makes a difference.
So how many trusted partners do you have nationwide?
Well, nationwide, we have almost 30.
Okay.
Here in the Bay Area, we have almost a dozen. We're doing an intensive test market here. We have some in Colorado, New Mexico, where we got started, and all across the country, and we're growing very rapidly.
And are many of these trusted partners retirees?
I'd say about a third of them are retirees.
Okay.
And the other two-thirds are probably young moms and dads who want to make a little income. And, you know, we were talking about this today, is the acceptance now of gig economy work, because people
It's such
know
a bad name,
Uber.
Though.
Gig economy?
Yeah, it just sounds, I think it's been used in kind of a derogatory manner, the gig economy.
Some policymakers think it's bad compared to a regular job.
But it's not necessarily.
But the people we have working for us, they really value the flexibility. They want to have control over their hours, where they work. And, you know, they enjoy serving their customers. They really do like
We agree. We agree. Yeah. It's just the name gig. You guys got to come up with a better name than gig.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'll work on that.
You'll work on that.
Fran, it'll be your fifth company you've done.
Yes. This is my fifth startup. Oh, I'm having a good time.
Good for you.
And so you've got about a third that are retirees today. What benefits do you see from retirees versus others?
Well, you know, retirees have a lot of life experience, so they totally know, because they're grandparents, what they need to, what other people like them need for their families who are visiting and traveling. And they understand how important this might be to make it a really good vacation. So I think they bring a lot of great experience. They know how to relate and deal with people. They're good problem solvers. And they really do also contribute to and enjoy the community.
Hmm. Interesting. Babyerge.com.
B-A-B-I-E-R-G-E.
And, of course, we'll have a link to on our Money Matters website, so listeners can go there to learn more about Baby Heirs and opportunities that it presents. And, Fran, we appreciate your time.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
All right. We wish you well on your sixth startup after this.
Yes. See, fun.
Yeah, see you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks. Well, I tell you, one of the reasons we had Fran on the program was obviously it's an interesting concept with the company, and you can go check that out and go to moneymatters.com. But also just to, I think, give you an insight of where things are headed.
Yes. Yes. Not only that, this was something that she just looked around and said, hey, I'm kind of retired and I'm doing okay, but I'm not comfortable spending money because I don't think I've, you know. And her journey said, oh, look, here's a little need. I can do this in the privacy of my home. I can partner with other people. It's an internet play. You don't need bricks and mortars. The startup capital is almost zero.
But the fact is, we'll see more and more opportunities like this for people.
Yes.
Now, whether it's, and you might be thinking, why in the world would I want to deliver?
Maybe
for you, it's probably, it's obviously not for everybody. Somebody think, well, that might be kind of a fun thing. Well,
but you rent out fishing equipment. Let's say I go to Colorado, visit my son, go fishing. I fish once a year. It's like bowling or ice skating or roller skating. For me, I do it about once a year. I don't have good equipment. You go and you rent fishing equipment. Someone meets you and says, go down there and use this bait, but they're not a guide, right?
Or it could be a guide.
It could be a guide. Well, there's guide services and there's internet search companies for guide services. It's pretty full right now. All right, that's pretty, but it could be something. That's a good idea. I think I'm going to run with that.
That's what you're going to do. So, you go to moneymatters.com, financial information, and by the way,
fishing gear.
If you need to get real, there's some fly fishing stuff. And ugly stick. It's all right there.
Right so, there. No, anyway. It's interesting. Interesting concept.
Yeah. Well, what we find, it's interesting. As the reality is this, we talk to people that come to us, they see that they're in a career that's a grind and they say, I can't do this forever. I'm burnt out. I've been in the same company. I've been doing the same thing, whatever it is. But sometimes the reality is they just don't have enough money to retire. And look, it takes more capital today than it used to.
A lot more.
Interest rates are not what they used to be, right? So, I mean, heck, when I remember back in, wasn't that many years ago, we can get clients at 8% government bonds.
Now?
Now they're 2% government bonds.
2%.
That's where they are.
Right?
And you know what CD rates are. So,
and your expected returns going forward
are just not what, they're not going to be like the 90s.
Yeah, it's not going to look like that.
I mean,
that.
It might be sometime in the future, but probably not the next. I will certainly wouldn't bet my retirement.
In the next 10 years on those high rates of return.
Yes. You're definitely, unless you are 85 when you retire, you're going to want to use some conservative assumptions.
The younger you are, the more conservative the assumption and the rate of return you should use. That's how it works.
Yes, because if the first decade is not great financial markets, you don't want to.
So
a lot of times we talk to people and it's like, well, you can't really afford to quit work altogether today.
You probably need to do something.
You need to earn something.
And it's not altogether a bad idea.
1980, almost 80% of people retiring from corporations left with a monthly pension. Today, that number is less than 25%, right? So the reality is, for many Americans going into retirement, the fact is you just don't have the same financial security for many as a previous generation. So part of a job as our financial advisors is to help people figure out, look, if you retired today, that's fine. Here's what your portfolio can provide. If the portfolio cannot provide enough income for the lifestyle you want, you either need to continue working
longer
or cut back your lifestyle.
And sometimes
people choose that.
50% of the time, someone will choose back. They'll choose to live to a lower cost area. That is not unusual at all to move to a lower cost area, especially if they have family and friends that live in a lower cost area. But sometimes they say, I'm going to stay and work a few more years. I'm just going to stay and work on. And the earlier we actually meet with someone for the retirement planning, the better prepared they are.
Yeah. So we had talked with Fran here, who'd started Baby Airs. There are more companies today started by people over age 50 than there are people in their 20s starting companies.
Which is, you don't see that. And typically, they're more, this here will never be a Match.com.
No.
But it can,
it's a niche.
But it can be a highly profitable niche for both her and some of her partner vendors.
Yes. But not only there's going to be more opportunities popping up that you can just be a partner on, there's more opportunities for you to create something like this in retirement. I mean, what's an interesting time now, Pat, is with the internet.
How people can work.
Yes. And the how fact it connects. It connects a skill or a service or a product with a need.
In a marketplace. And allows you to actually operate a business virtually anywhere. You don't have to bricks and mortars. It's not needed anymore. In fact, people are so used to not actually using bricks and mortar. It's the second place our family goes to is bricks and mortar when we're looking for something. With the exception of my wife, but myself and the kids, it's the second place we go.
I have not been in Costco in months.
It's the second place
I used to go there frequently.
It's just a different world.
I buy almost everything on Amazon.
It's a different world.
I know it's going to be there.
Although Costco.com is pretty good too. Right. Yeah. Well, you might want to try it if you're a Costco fan. Costco.com. And that's not to take anything away from the bricks and mortar. It's just that people are consuming things different. So we like having guests on that have a different frame of view. And most certainly, not only is she looking for retirees to work as her partners, she was one herself.
I got a quick story on this baby. So I had a friend of mine, been a friend for years, a few years older than I am. Kids have grown. He ended up raising his grandkid, ended up adopting his grandbaby. So he comes to visit for a couple days in the summer. He's got his tourist rental car filled with baby stuff, the crib, the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this was like 20 years ago. And now he's back at it. Hey, we got to take a break. If you'd like to join us, 1-888-2-HANSEN. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
All right, you are back with Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
We're talking about financial matters.
Yep.
Here's the deal. The majority of Americans are in a federal tax bracket of 15% or lower.
The majority?
Yeah. First of all, a good chunk of Americans don't pay any income taxes.
Zero income taxes.
Almost half.
They do have payroll taxes.
Yes, but as far as income taxes... And the way the tax rates work, there's some income that we can have that's not taxed at all. We have personal exemptions or we have itemized deductions. Then there's some tax. Then we pay tax a little bit at 10%, but it's really 15% is the first major bracket. And that's where the majority of Americans
live in the 15% bracket
or below. But then as your income goes up, it suddenly jumps
from
15 to 25%.
Makes sense.
Right. So. You could be that your paycheck at one point was 15 cents on every dollar was going to the tax men, suddenly hit the next bracket. That next dollar, 25 cents going to the tax.
It doesn't mean you pay 25 cents of every dollar in taxes. It means the last dollar
now,
earned.
You're sitting there thinking, why are you guys talking about taxes? Here's why.
Because everyone loves the conversation
of taxes.
It's riveting.
So, but here's the deal. The majority of Americans are contributing to a 401k, I might add.
Are maybe contributing on the wrong side of the 401k.
They are. Because the majority of the dollars are going in on a pre-tax basis. And I would argue, we would argue, and most good tax advisors would argue, that if you are in a low tax bracket,
you should be putting them into an after-tax.
A Roth
account.
So instead of... A traditional.
So the
remember a Roth, and here's the difference. On a traditional 401k or traditional IRA, when you put money in, you can you receive a tax deduction for that contribution.
It as lowers an example, your taxable income.
Yes. You earn $50,000 at work. You put in 10% into your 401k. That's $5,000. When you go to report your income at the end of the year, when you're doing your taxes, it's like you only earned $45,000. So you got the tax deduction. It grows tax deferred at retirement age when you pull the money out. It's taxed at that point at whatever your income bracket is during that calendar year in which you withdraw. So
58% of all 401k plans out there have a Roth option on that.
Now, 401ks have been around since late 70s, early 80s. The Roth option did not become available until 2007, so less than a decade ago. So and with the Roth...
The adoption's been slow, though.
Yes. With the Roth, you do not receive a tax deduction for your contribution. So back in that example, if you made $50,000, you had $5,000 withheld to your employer's Roth 401k. At the end of the year, when you do your taxes, you're going to have to report $50,000 of income. But it does grow tax deferred. But the beauty is, it's tax-free at retirement. Now... If you're in a higher tax bracket today, you would be using the Roth based on a couple of assumptions. One is you believe you're going to be at least that tax bracket or higher in retirement. And two, you believe Congress isn't going to change the rules on it. But so you might not be worth taking that bet. But if you're in a low tax bracket or in a situation where you're not paying any income taxes because you've got a couple of kids at home.
There's very little risk.
There's very little risk, and I might argue that it's you'd be the risk is by doing the pre-tax 401k.
Yeah.
Particularly, now, you got two or three kids at home, and you're taking the, you're not paying an income tax because you have all these deductions.
You're wasting it. You're wasting it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You are. You're wasting it.
So, if you have a
Roth 401k available,
and you are, you know, you're in the 15% bracket, and if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know which where I am, it might really be worth you taking time to look at it,
or asking an advisor to look at it. Or talking to a tax preparer and have them explain it to you. If your tax preparer cannot explain the benefits of a Roth versus a non-Roth, my recommendation would be to
find a different tax preparer.
Find a different tax preparer.
Yeah. So, but the Roth...
And if they say they can't give investment advice, you're not asking for investment advice. You're asking for tax advice.
Yeah, and whether you should use the Roth or not.
Yeah.
You know, here's what I think will be interesting, Pat. So... The Department of Labor has been a big push on the fiduciary, being a fiduciary for money in retirement accounts. Particularly in the push right now is that advisors and brokers need to use a fiduciary standard. That just means you're putting the client's interest first.
Which is a great thing.
And there, this standard already exists on 401ks. It would not surprise me at some point in time, some attorney gets a class together, class action, and says to the employer, hey, look, you didn't offer a Roth option, which would have been the better interest, or B, you didn't educate and promote a Roth option.
And the reality is you could actually promote, if you know, well, you don't know the family income, but if you know one person's income, you could most certainly notify them that the Roth is a better option. Holy smokes, we should be doing that on our own plan.
I know that. I actually was just thinking that as I'm saying.
Well, the advisors know it, but we have lots of people that work here that aren't advisors.
But our employees also get financial planning from the advisors.
Well, that's
so
true.
We do have those discussions, and we have a Roth option here at the.
But now you just tipped off some lawyer somewhere about a class action. Scott, good job. That's what we need.
What's employment?
That's what
we
need.
I always want to make sure there's full employment of the attorneys. That's always concerned.
So we're going to take some calls. If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSEN.
Yeah, if you got a question regarding, might be your retirement, might be some financial planning type question. Maybe someone's trying to sell you some product. You wonder if it's the right thing for you. You're looking at rolling over your 401k, trying to figure out if that's right. How do you get income for retirement?
Do I pay down my mortgage?
Whatever.
Do I buy that big life insurance my neighbor's selling me? Do I finance a car? Do I pay cash for a car? Do I lease a car?
Yeah.
Financial questions, 888-2-HANSEN get on the
numerically, air. It's 888-242-6766, 888-242-6766.
And as always, moneymatters.com.
Yes. Now, let's go to Santa Clara and talk with Tony. Tony, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, folks.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, what you're talking about with the Roth strikes home with me. That's what I'm calling about because ultimately it comes back to a little bit of guesswork. You know, you say you have to guess whether or not the tax laws will change and what your tax bracket will be in the future. And that resonates with me because I'm 52, so I'm a little ways away from retirement, but I feel like I'm hair beyond the eight ball because my wife has been out of the workforce for about 20 years raising kids. So we're single income in a land of double incomes. And so I'm starting to evaluate our portfolio and what we're looking at. And I have tools for my employer to evaluate. And I've contacted financial planners, but usually I end up with a worksheet asking me to guess what my future is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what my run rate will be, what my expenses will be, and especially gross unknowns, like what my medical expenses might be. And I'm wondering...
You're 52.
What? Yeah.
How are you going to know what your medical... No, you know, it's the further out, however, any of us going to know what our medical expenses are going to be? We can look at some of the studies out there, maybe, and make some guess. But medical expenses have been increasing about 6% per year for the last 40 years, as medical care has increased dramatically.
Exactly.
Right? We get much better care. So
that's my point: is how do I know when I'm in a place where I've got enough stash that I'm going to be reasonably assured that I'm not going to be on the street?
Got it. So. I'm gonna point to Scott's book, The 7 Personal Decision Points, and I'm gonna point to our website.
And we'll give you a free copy.
Free copy.
So
we're trying to operate
Chris
a business
sitting
here.
Back there, make sure he send
what do you mean giving free stuff away, Hanson?
We're going to give Tony a book.
So that is the big question, right? And you can work spreadsheets, but we like to start at the beginning, which is how much are you living on now, right?
After you take care of some expenses and that sort of thing, what are you actually living on?
What are you living on now? And let's work backwards to replacing that, right?
Yeah, I got those figures. But again, how much do those project to the future?
Well, you've got, we can, okay, so you're looking at, are you an engineer by chance?
Of a sort, yeah.
He's a little chuckled.
Are you an engineer?
Of sorts.
Software engineer, yeah.
Okay, so what you're going to have to make some assumptions in those numbers. You're going to have to actually, but here's the good thing. As long as your inflation assumption and your rate of return assumptions are actually similar, which means that they're not out of bracket. So if you say, hey, my rate of return assumption is 5, then your inflation assumption should be 3, right? Assuming you have a balanced portfolio. So as long as those things aren't out of whack, you're not going to come up with the right number, but you're going to come up with a scenario that's close. And that's what's key. There's no way, as much as you'd love to say X plus Y equals, it's just not going to happen. There's too many unknowns in the, the equation.
Like, yeah. And, Tony, do you have kids?
Yeah, 4.
Okay, 4. All right. Are they still in the home?
3 are.
Okay. And what are the chances your 4 kids are going to live in Santa Clara, you think, 10 years from now?
No idea.
Okay.
We're trying to foster an environment where they'd explore on their own and figure out their own path.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, part of it, I'm bringing this up, is Santa Clara is probably one of the most expensive communities in the world to live these days, right? I mean, median home prices
are
ridiculous.
So you would expect that they wouldn't live in Santa Clara because they can't live in Santa Clara.
Right.
Right.
Right. Isn't the median home price over $1 million right now in Santa Clara?
Yeah.
Yeah, for $1 million, you don't, it's not, it's a
yeah,
tiny
I mean,
little.
You could move to Ohio and become mayor for that kind of.
So the point is, part of this is, as you're evaluating the future, I mean, there's a good chance you will leave Santa Clara at retirement time and move somewhere where at least one or not more of your children are living.
It could be, but I'd like to keep that option open, right? I mean, my home value is not really high. My loan-to-value ratio is very favorable, but all things equal, this is a beautiful place to live.
So are you on track to having your home paid off by the time you hit 60?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you maximizing your 401k?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think kind of just rule of thumb, if you figure, say, a 4% withdrawal rate on your assets, I mean, if you can just kind of look back, if that's why Pat said... The starting point is, look, you're paying your mortgage payment today. You won't be paying that
you
in retirement.
You won't be paying that in
you're
retirement.
You're saving for retirement. You won't be saving at retirement.
So
you're paying a Social Security. You won't be doing it. So you strip all those out and say, what's actually coming through the checkbook and being spent today? Let's figure out what that dollar is. And then let's figure out how much money do we need set aside to generate that income? And if you use, say, a 4% withdrawal rate, that means for every $1 million, it's going to spin off $40,000 a year. And that's a pretty good bogey of what you're going to need.
Sure, and that's why I mentioned the medical costs, because that's the big wild card. Right?
That's no question. No.
You're going to have Medicare.
Yeah, and if your company actually, you may have a Medicare supplement that your company pays for, but you're going to have Medicare at some point in time. But that is absolutely, as our taxes are an absolute unknown, right? We have no idea. So then we'd say,
Tony, if you are looking for some way at age 52 to state that you've got some plan that regardless of whatever happens in the world is going to protect you and you never have any financial worries, it says that does not exist.
Sure. Understood. I was hoping that there might be some estimator. Or
yeah. Well, yeah, there's 260,000. It's average couple needs $260,000 for medical expenses. There's a Fidelity study, 260, 270, something along those lines.
For a couple.
Covers most expenses.
Because Medicare covers most of it. So yeah.
Covers most expenses.
At age 65, you are eligible or whenever you're eligible for Medicare, that in addition to the coverage of Medicare, you're going to need approximately $260,000.
Now, it could be that by the time you're 62, 65, there's some latest technology that combines medicine and the technology realm, and you can buy yourself some additional years of service or years of life or a higher quality of life, some anti-aging. I mean, that's what's coming down the pike,
yeah,
right?
Some nanotechnology.
Yeah. So it might be that, heck, boy, if you had $500,000, you'd invest this on yourself. So it's hard. Those sort of things, it's hard to budget for.
So the, where we would start is Scott's book, we'll mail it to you. And on our website, there's a little webinar, and you could walk through it. You could actually figure it out pretty quickly, is that you start with the end in mind, which is what are you living on today? And then you work backwards through that under the seven personal decision points. And it's a program that we created ourselves to answer this question, yep. Right?
Not that it's going to answer every possibility that's out there, but within a high degree of probability.
Yes, and the reason is people, the budget things don't work. People don't want to lower their standard of living in retirement. So if you start with, I want to continue the same standard of living today, I'm going to strip out those expenses that will go away in retirement, and then I will start taking income. Am I going to hit that number in 12, 15, 18 years, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? That was the whole concept behind the seven personal decision points. We created it in-house because there was no other program that was commercially available in the marketplace that would answer those questions.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll send you the book. Stay. We're putting you on hold here, Tony, and Chris can make sure she has your address, and we'll send you the book and appreciate your call. And now we're going to transition to real advice. All right, so during this segment of our program, we'll talk with a Hanson McLean advisor and hear from him or her about a real-life situation that they've dealt with or are dealing with a real-life individual, someone that they've worked with. Now, as we do this, that please realize that this is happened to this one particular family or individual, and it may not be indicative of all the results, nor may it be indicative of what you might experience. But we're going to have Adam Peters joining us, and Adam is a certified financial planner and a chartered financial consultant, been in the financial services area for 17 years. Of course, he's a Hanson McLean advisor who works with both clients and prospective clients in the greater Denver metro area. Adam, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Oh, thank you, guys, and thank you for having me on again.
Yes, always good having you on in fantastic Denver. You guys have any snow yet? I'm just kidding. Okay.
But
Denver, I've always thought Denver would be a nice place to live because active life. Anyway, so tell us about a situation that you were working with or recently worked with or whatever.
Yeah, we clients that we started working with this year had heard us on the radio on KOA. They came to a live workshop and learned more about what we do. And in sitting down with them, realize they're very nice folks, very humble folks, husband and wife. They had done a great job building everything up. They had really amassed a significant amount of assets, millions and millions of dollars. But the problem was that they weren't really protecting it that well, and they weren't really using those assets that effectively, given kind of the size of the numbers that they were dealing with.
And what were their concerns? I mean, why were they talking to them? You know, normally, someone doesn't go see a financial advisor unless they're trying to accomplish something.
Exactly. And I think they realized that there were some inefficiencies. They were getting some conflicting kind of thoughts from their CPA versus their attorney versus what they're reading kind of in different news broadcasts. I mean, it's just a deluge of info that they didn't know how to sort through. So in meeting with them, I think what really came to light is that they had concerns, and one was they just didn't know where to invest money outside of putting it in real estate or in the bank.
Yeah.
And real estate's really what their profession was. So obviously they felt comfortable with that, and they thought the bank was safe because, you know, every time you looked at the CD, it seemed to have more money in it. They didn't really have a strategy.
You know, and it's not unusual. I ran into a friend that's in the real estate business 2 weeks ago. And so I referred to what I do as the other asset class, because all this person recognized was real estate, real estate, real estate. And it sounds like the people you met with, the answer was real estate and cash, as if there were no other options.
Correct. And as they said, it's like, you know, we've made money in real estate. We've made money in the bank. We don't know if we can make money elsewhere.
So what process did you bring them through, and what are some of the recommendations?
Well, you know, I think taking them through the process was where that initial kind of problem or challenge was highlighted. And through the process, we were able to figure out what's an investment strategy that they're comfortable with. Doesn't mean they're throwing a lot into stocks, but they have a risk-managed portfolio. They have something that now we're looking over for them as a fiduciary, but it's outside of the realms of things they are not investing in, being it's not just cash, it's not just real estate.
And was
but
there
some of the other problems? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was saying the some of the other problems that came to light, though, is that investments had some inefficiencies, but tax issues and big tax bills and more of an estate issue with kind of transferring this legacy, those were even larger concerns when we went through the process with them.
And had they had some complex planning at this point of was estate planning?
You know, the estate planning definitely got much more up to snuff. You know, they had looked at just kind of some simple wills and possibly a trust. But given the size of their assets, given that, you know, they have some ways they can possibly transfer this to, you know, kids and maybe grandkids.
So did they start a gifting program? Did they start a gifting program?
That was the first thing.
So you started a gifting program.
Gifting.
And I assume that you had them visit with an estate planning attorney and do some trust. Were they worried about tax implications? Like, did they have a 401k or required minimum distributions that they worried about?
You know, and that was the big tax impact. They weren't worried about it until we actually met. And they're working with the CPA.
They didn't know they had a problem.
Right. Well, they didn't have a problem in the current year, which I think we see with a lot of people. It's, you know, if they work with a CPA and they see the minimum kind of bill in the current year, they don't see it as a problem. But right now, I mean, they're in a very low tax bracket between federal and state, about 20%.
Which is low.
Which is very low, right? When we looked at what it would go to at 70.5%, and now required minimum distribution startup between federal, state, and the investment income surtax, I mean the Obamacare tax, they were close to 40%.
Wow.
Right off the bat.
So for the rest of the listeners, if I may put this into a little bit simpler terms, people come in oftentimes and have lots of money in an IRA or a 401k, and they'll be in a low tax bracket, which is a good thing. What you have to do is you've got to take that 401k or IRA and you've got to put some sort of return assumptions on it until they're age 70.5.
Figure out what it's going to look like.
And figure out what the required minimum distributions look like, because that's required by law. And then you say to them, look, it's good that you're in 20% tax bracket now, but you're going to be in 40% in 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. We need to start addressing this issue now.
Is there anything we do to mitigate that?
And the way you can mitigate that is you can convert some of the IRA to a Roth IRA while voluntarily. They're not required to do it. It just makes good tax planning. If you wait till you're age 70.5 and you start planning for that stuff,
it's too late.
It's too late. It's just right.
It's not forward thinking with the planning. And that's exactly what we did. The Roth conversions. Going to be a multi-year strategy we're doing now until they're 70.5. That with the gifting on the estate and you know, family limited partnership on the estate side, which they're running by their attorney, and certain discounts with that could or could not go away soon. Those are all techniques where we're talking really large sums of money they're saving.
Oh, that's great.
They didn't even know the full extent of the challenges when we first met.
And that's actually, we appreciate you actually working with those clients. And that is actually, that is the key thing, which is a good advisor will actually spend the time trying to understand what a client's looking for, what their goals and objectives are, what their current situation is, and then giving them some direction. And when you get into more complicated stuff like this, what you have to worry about is you really have to bring in not only a qualified advisor, but at this point in time, it requires a very qualified attorney, an estate planning attorney, and an accountant, especially when you're talking about things like family limited partnerships, because those are
a whole
new breed of changes that are coming down on these particular things. And your attorneys, you have to understand the good, the bad, and the ugly. So appreciate
Adam. You know what, Pat? It's with the I mean, we're in this strange period right now where the new administration will be taking over in January.
And it's anyone's guess.
What's going to happen with taxes?
Anyone's guess.
I think it's anyone's guess.
I'm thinking that corporate taxes, they're gonna allow some repatriation of the dollars to the U.S.
Yes.
I think that that's long overdue.
It's long overdue.
Long overdue.
I think
which is good for the
that.
U.S. economy and good for jobs in the U.S. to repatriate this money back.
But we don't know what's going to happen with the top income tax rates, with capital gain rates. There's talk of a massive overhaul of the tax code. It's necessary, whether or not that it can be pulled off in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know what was going to happen to mortgage interest rates in terms of can you deduct them, can you not deduct them, 401ks, IRAs, Roths. Who knows? Truly, who knows?
Which is why you want to take a diversified strategy with your tax planning, just like you take a diversified strategy with your savings and investments, which is one of the things that we've always talked about. So, hey, we are running out of time here, unfortunately. But if you go to moneymatters.com at our website there, you'll find a lot of great information and some webinars, et cetera. You can also find a link there where you can get a copy of our book, Personal Decision Points, 7 Steps to Your Ideal Retirement Transition. moneymatters.com/book will get you to a 75% discount. So we encourage you that. You can listen to this program via podcast. If that's convenient, just go to moneymatters.com, give you a link, or you can go to iTunes or your favorite podcast place and search Hanson McClain. Anyway, we're out of time. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. You've been listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.